Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Happy Thursday, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Paula Price Show. Welcome, Dr. Paula Price. How are you today?
I'm always wonderful. I'm looking forward to today's show. Ashley, how are you doing? Are you up in the spirit?
I am up in the spirit. The sun is not shining, but I am happy and shining.
Well, you know, we need some rain sometimes. So every now and then we have to be realistic. We need to grow stuff. Things need to be green. So I guess we can give us a Thursday now and again to get a few showers. I would like to say spring showers, but aren't we in summer? July, summer. So we're getting some summer showers. But I tell you, our weather here has been amazing. And so, but I have to go. I'm going to get off of that. I am excited about today's show. God wants to talk to his people today. So I'm praying that we have a lot of enthusiastic callers because God is doing a new thing. And I've been watching. We've been having in prayer in the mornings and our morning briefings. It's been astounding what the Lord is saying and what he is doing. And I've been sharing, actually, a little bit of it on Facebook, talking about God planning a new thing and all of that. So we're going to come back and visit some of that and kind of help people wrap their heads around where God is going, how they fit in his next move, his next leg of the journey, and what he expects from them. So this is thrilling. This is thrilling for me. But I want to start by saying, what do we have going on? We're going to be in Florida, Ashley, in a couple of weeks.
Yes, we are. Excuse me. Yes, we are. Fort Pierce with Apostle Trevor Banks and his ministry for their 22nd anniversary celebration. And it's going to be a powerful time with you and him and some other apostles from all over the place and prophets who will be there. The theme is Times of Extraordinary Prophetic Fulfillment. And I know that is very timely, even with where you are, Dr. Price, as an apostle, and the posts that you've been placing on Facebook, like you said, about the shifts, the changes, the old, the new. What does it look like? Where do I fit? What's happening in the church? And so Times of Extraordinary Prophetic Fulfillment, you will be ministering on Thursday, July 24th, specifically. The event is the 23rd through the 27th. It actually goes through that Sunday. But you'll be on Thursday. Our show, the Paula Price Show, will be live from their ministry. They shifted around their schedule to accommodate having an audience, a studio audience, which is great. And then Thursday evening, you will minister during the event. So we're very, very, very excited about that.
Well, Ashley, I love that, you know, and his title, his theme for the event is quite pointed. He shared with me something that happened, talking about the word of the Lord taking place. Well, to just give the make the long story short, we were there. The last time we were there, we got caught in Hurricane, was it Jean, Ashley?
Sounds right. It was traumatizing.
Okay. It was traumatizing. We got caught in a hurricane. And so when we were there, you know, and everything got kind of crazy, and yet, you know, before it hit, I ministered, and I gave this apostle a particular word way back then, talking about a word in the storm. And so as time went on, and he developed, and he did what he did, and we went on, you know, we're all busy with our commissions. He happens upon that word almost 7 years later and realizes everything that was spoken in that word happened unbeknownst to him, and certainly not beknownst to me, because I'd forgotten that I'd said it. And I think it's a testament to the prophecies that we give as God's messengers, as his divine communicants, that God does not need our involvement to bring his words to pass. He will do it because that's who he is. And if something is on the books that he announces, he doesn't care about the turbulence, the upsets, the setbacks, all of those are accounted for by the Lord when he delivers a prophecy. So he's not delivering it oblivious to what's going on around it or totally unaware of what could happen. God doesn't get taken off guard by unexpected events. Neither does his word, which is why the word is more than a voice, more than a script, It's a person called the Lord Jesus Christ. It is also why the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. So what's good about this is I get to enter into, when we go there in a couple of weeks, the fulfillment of that word. They've since gotten a major breakthrough in land and facility. It's just amazing. And so I'm looking forward to this trip because it's nice to give a word and then to walk into the prophecy that you've given that has now become a manifestation and a monument of what God said would be. So that's another reason why I'm excited, Ashley, aside from the fact that we are going to do the Paula Price Show on location. I love doing the show on location. It always thrills me, you know. And, I mean, even when we do it with our events, and we just kind of interject it in our two events a year or whatever we do, two major events anyway. So we've got a lot waiting for us in Florida. And so it's kind of like this apostle. Okay, well, we've lived that word has happened, and the Lord has clad that word with our present existence, our present acquisitions. Now let's see what God's going to say and do for us next. And I will speak to all of you who are leaders and prophets and messengers. I am not a prophet, but I am a profoundly prophetic apostle. And that's important. You know, I'm a founding apostle, absolutely, but I'm profoundly prophetic. So that means that, you know, there are some apostles that God does not speak through prophetically like that or frequently. You know, in other words, if he needs to get it out, they'll do it. But then there are those of us who are part of that prophetic continuum, and in addition to being God's apostles, and so we can pull in. Not just what God is saying, but we can pull in the powers, the forces, and trigger the embedded situations that will bring that word to pass. And so he knows that of me. You know, if I'm telling you, if it's going to happen, you can rest assured. But I thought with all of the turbulence, and that word even coming through an extraordinarily turbulent time, Ashley, I thought, isn't it interesting how God did not care about all of the circumstances surrounding his fulfillment of that word? He did it anyway, and every party involved was oblivious to the fact that the Lord was watching over his word to perform it. Now tell me, is that not an amazing thing?
It is extraordinary, Dr. Price. I learned a very interesting prophetic lesson throughout this whole thing of how it came about, because Apostle Trevor was at your first Apostolic Summit in 2002, and he has since been to several summits. He was at your commissioning ceremony a few years ago. And one thing I've learned is when the word of the Lord, when it's time for it to come to pass, there is nothing that can stand in his way. And through a series of life events, because we always forget, and often forget, I will at least say, how miracles and manifestations happen through a series of events on earth, not just the heavens, but also the earth, and how he even found the CD. It wasn't even marked. I mean, just the whole thing of how that word came back before his face, and it was sitting there the whole time, yet it was hidden. Which is such an interesting insight into prophetic manifestation, how sometimes your answer can be sitting there the whole time, but it's hidden literally right in front of your face. And to see that come to pass is extraordinary. I think you saying you are profoundly prophetic is probably the understatement of the century. Bless God. to say the least. And I remember that trip thinking you were saying, you know, should we go, shouldn't we go, because we're watching the weather from Tulsa, and this storm is kicking up, and then it's calming down, and then when we got there, it had pretty much went out to sea, and then it turned back around and came back inland at the last moment when we were getting ready to minister. We were like, okay, this is special. And so to see how God set that up and how the word came to pass, like you said, details, you gave a detailed word, and the details of that word were manifested, which also speaks to the power of advanced prophetics and intelligent prophetics, and how you're teaching now and hammering. If people have to go ask somebody else what your prophetic word meant, why did they come to you? And your word was so plain as far as in a way to understand it. When he reflected, he was like, oh, my goodness, these literal exact events happen, which is truly a testimony to your mantle. You were speaking into business, and that was really amazing to see as well.
Well, and in addition to that, they not, what amazed him was that they happened within the time frame that I said. I said 7 years, and by the time 7 years were up, my goodness, that word had happened. But, you know, it's, you said something that was interesting, Ashley. I thought I'd like to revisit that for a moment before we get to Prophet Adia. But I want to revisit that word. You said, well, you know, the details. We have been taught that it's okay for prophecy to be vague and to be obscure and enigmatic and, you know, undefinable and all of those kinds of things, because we kind of leave the fine point details or the clarifying issues or factors of that prophecy to the hearer to happen and to God to work out as he sees fit. I want to say, right now, that's not entirely wrong, so do not hear this from that context. But what I would like to expound on from that statement is that, as I wrote this week on Facebook, when God gets specific, it's near. He's very vague when it's far off, because he doesn't need you to get involved to help him. And if you got involved, you couldn't help him anyway. And if you had a clue as to what he was doing, you would probably start trying to accelerate that word as if it's in our power to do so. So when God first starts out prophetically, he's going to be vague. You know, I'm going to use you to do great and mighty things. Okay, I mean, could that be broad enough? Let's get serious. Now, so, but as time goes on, and as you come closer to what he is bringing to pass, and that thing is coming up on his calendar, he now needs you to have intelligence and to have the awareness to capture what he's doing, to grasp that it is him and that it is something in his timetable, and for you not to let the moment and the situations that he sets up slip through your fingers. So then he begins to get more vocal, he gets more more specific, more detailed, he gets more frequent. So you'll have, you know, you turn around and the Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? I mean, you got the clerk at the store prophesying, the stock boy, you know, the waiter, the servant, whatever, because it's near and God needs you to not miss it, because mentally, psychologically speaking, when God gives us a word that's very vague, we store it. Now he's trying to pull that word up from our memory banks and get it into our conscious mind so that we can participate in what he's doing and not stagnated or frustrated by, you know, still staying in wait mode when it's no longer wait mode. It's now go time. And so I felt that when you made that statement, that I want my listeners to know there is a place for vagueness. There's a place for, you know, the broad strokes of a prophecy. I like to call them those broad stroke prophecies that God is going to bless you. Case in point, biblical case in point, there's Abraham. Abraham hears from, you know, he moves. You know, we often think that Abraham left Ur of Chaldea on his own. He did not. He did not. Abraham followed his father, Terah. Now, so the first word to leave their homeland was from, at least Chaldea, I'll say that, came from Abraham's dad. God told Terah, you need to leave. So Terah took up his whole family and he moved. So now, and so they relocated, resettled in another land, built a life for themselves, and things were great. So finally, his dad died, or finally, maybe an old. So his dad died. When his father died, then God stepped up and began to speak to Abraham. And he told him now, because Abraham's home country by that time was a whole other region. He wasn't even there any longer. So God says, listen, leave your family, leave this place and go to the place that I'll show you and you're going to be blessed. Okay? Short version. You can go back and read the fill it in, you know, on your own time. So he does that. The next time God speaks, he's adding to the prophecy. The next time he speaks, he's introducing the idea of Isaac. The next time he speaks, he's introducing the date, the timeline, and all the way down until he's covered this man's life from the moment he left his home country to the time he leaves the planet. But every time it's increasing, as it comes nearer to performance, nearer to manifestation, the Lord is adding detail, adding specificity. That is where it gets very complicated, a little difficult for you to figure this out. So God will get very specific, and he will come down. Don't get me wrong. He will come down with dates, times, whatever. And depending upon the reach and the composition of the prophet that's giving the word or the messenger, that the Lord will go so far as to tell you name, dates, and birthdays. He said to Abraham when Sarah left, he said, this year I'm coming back. And this year Sarah's going to have a child. You know, he talked to, he brought that thing down to the wire, but he didn't start out that way. He started out with some vague, you know, I hope this is God kind of word. You know, a lot of you listening to me today are hearing that, well, I hope this is God kind of word. Or if you're not accustomed to prophecy, it's, well, if you say so, you know, it's how you say, okay. Now, you need it to come to pass. You want it to come to pass. But life has been so frustrating and so on again, off again, you're a little bit hesitant about embracing it fully. Well, God understands that. So you get the vague stuff in the beginning because he knows he's got to start persuading you. He's got to put those convictions in your mind so that your unbelief does not keep killing what he's saying. So he starts out broad. He lays it out slowly. He unravels it, you know, chapter by chapter. You know, first you're just getting a you might just get the volume of the book. Then we're going to move into the chapter. Okay, now we're going to move into the page. And then after that, we're going to move into the paragraph. And then we'll move into the literal sentences. So you want to understand that when people start saying, well, that ain't nothing. That's not saying anything. I don't. That didn't say anything to me. Well, don't assume that. Don't assume that. And don't assume just because it's broad that God isn't speaking. I will also say on this subject that God uses newer and younger and less developed prophets to give broad words. And then when he starts coming into fulfillment, he's going to use more specific prophets. Now, in the case of Abraham, God didn't have a prophet, so he had to be his own prophet. And a lot of times we don't realize that. God had to be his own prophet because nobody else was around to say it. Remember, Abraham was a Babylonian prophet. So God was just one of the many guys that Abraham had an experience with as he was officiating in the office of the prophet that was at that time very polytheistic with no monotheistic representation. So God had to just kind of jump in himself. That was the key reason why he would have his father leave Ur of Chaldea and move on over to Haran and wherever else they went. But God had to be his own prophet because he had none. He didn't have a nation at the time of Abraham. He just had God and Abraham. You know, Abraham became the Jew later on down the road. He started out, he was a Chaldean. And so as we go forward understanding how God speaks, I mean, God himself gave us the model. You know, God didn't have a prophet with Noah. He had to speak himself because everything else was speaking for every other god. Now, that's not to say, and I won't go on the record to say that I'm not saying there were no prophets. I'm saying the Most High, true and living God, adopted Abraham and inducted him into his lineage, did not have a prophet at that time. So he gave him broad strokes. Leave this land. Go to a place I will show you. I'm going to bless your descendants. I can imagine Abraham saying descendants. Yeah, I'm surely missing this because where am I getting a descendant from? And yet something in his gut, something in his soul said, but, you know, this just might happen. So I'm going to pursue it. I would encourage many of you today that you know you have a credible word from God, and he has been watering that word. He's been coming back, watering it, reinforcing it, reiterating it, repeating it until you got it. And I'm telling you, I'm in a position with that right now as we speak, which is probably why I've kind of fell into this discussion. But the thing that I want you to hear is that when God starts getting specific and when he starts becoming, A, redundant, first repetitive, then redundant, then specific, and then insistent, that's the journey of your prophecy being clad for this world's manifestation. And so, you know, it's unfortunate. I think all the time how unfortunate, Ashley, it is that so much of the church has still not been able to get that development of the prophetic and thinking that it's some sort of a politic or some sort of a money-making gimmick, they don't realize God does everything, everything, everything. If you're writing notes, I want you to write this statement down in your Bible, in your mirror, and whatever. God does everything by his word. If he doesn't speak it, it is not going to happen. So you need prophetic people in your life. You need them in your church. You need them in your ministries. You need them in your prayer group. You need them in your business, because if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot even cooperate with him if you don't have quality, high-developed, divine communicants, messengers, prophets, prophetic people, prophesiers to speak into it. And you cannot, if you're called to be a major organization, you will not get the fullness of your prophecy. If you're called to be multi-million, multi-billion dollar enterprise or whatever, you're not going to get that from a new prophet. That's not going to happen. You're not going to get that from whatever. Now, they may make words and statements, but you'll never get the wisdom. You will only get the wisdom of your prophecy from one who occupies and discharges the office, because it's in the office where the files are. It's in the office where the archives are. It's in the office where the authority is. It is not in the field. It's the same thing if you are a field salesperson versus the sales manager or the sales executive, two different spans and two different reaches. So if you are a member of the body of Christ, and you know God is doing things in your life, you need to connect with a bona fide prophet, and you need to connect with one that is called to your vein, to your sphere. We talk about that, which is why we have our assessments, so that you'll know the kind of prophet you should tap into. If you're going to tap into a prophet who has constant success with family, that may not be what you need when you need information or when your situation calls for information on business, on marketing, on profiting, on finance, or whatever industry. So you have to also realize that prophets, the prophetic is like any other institution. It has branches, arms, department. It has levels and strata and spheres, and it has different specialties and specializations. You have to know that. And I can speak to this because not only did I live it and have I not explored it, but I'm telling you that it is so, and I've written it in my work on purpose. We keep acting like all prophets are the same. God has no cookie-cutter patterns, because life doesn't work that way. We have our home life. We have our career life. We have our personal life. We have our marriage life. We have our parenting life. We have our spiritual life. We have our God life. We have our social life. We have our civil life, and on it goes. So God has to provide himself vocal outlets in all of those strata, in all of those spheres. So you can bring in your best friend. You can bring in your pet prophet. You can bring in a global prophet. But if that's not their emphasis, you still aren't going to get what you need, and you still aren't going to hear what God wants to say. You may get fragments of it, but the full wisdom of discharging that thing is very limited unless you get a broad-based prophet. And even if you get one too big, sometimes you bring in those big ones, they're too big to hear from your issue, because they're listening on a global or international or, you know, whatever front. So I say that to you to say, you, if you are going to seek the word of the Lord, you need to make sure that that word is coming from the person, the prophet, messenger, who is equivalent to your sphere of life, your strata, and your level of progress or advancement. And I said that going back to Abraham. If God had a prophet, who in the world would have told Abraham what God was going to do? Likewise with Moses. God spoke to Moses directly because there was no prophetic institution for Moses. The only prophetic, the major prophet they had was Balaam, and Balaam had, I mean, this guy, he was, you know, for hire. He was whoever had, and that was all God had to work with at the time. So he spoke with him. He spoke with Moses directly. So, and again, both Moses and Abraham and Noah, for that matter, had one thing in common. They had major life-changing, world-changing destinies that only God could define to bring to pass. But I want to go back to you. If you're a pastor, and I know, you know, here's the deal. I want to say this because it's important. I know that a lot of you pastors out there, you have been raked over the coals with immature, untrained, underdeveloped prophets. And you know what? So have I. We've all lived it. But, you know, you cannot say that you haven't had a doctor that didn't know what he or she was doing, an attorney who failed the test, a boss who failed a project. I mean, you cannot say that. And if you can forgive all of that and just tighten up your scrutiny, yet still give validation, validity to the function, the field, or issue, then you can do the same thing with God. So this whole idea of, well, I'm not letting another prophet in because one prophet messed up, shame on you. That is certainly not the attitude and the reaction of a mature person, a mature professional. You know, you might be great as a pastor, but you still need to hear from God. I have had that. I've gone in there where they said, I don't want anybody to tell me anything. And, you know, you tell me that, I'm not going to tell you anything. I can see the day you're going to die, and I'm not going to tell you. When you let me know you don't want to hear from the prophet, you don't want me to bring out that thought, I will not tell you. I will watch you pick the wrong people, put them in the wrong place. I will watch their hearts and know that they're going to rip you off and tear you down, and I won't do it. You know why? Because you shut me down. You didn't want to hear it. So there's no need of me having me and God both offended, and you come under the judgment because now you're despising the word of the Lord. So I save us all the hardship. So, but the problem is, and you can say, well, that's not God. Yes, it is, because it's God. He's not talking to a lot of churches now because they told him to shut up. They already told him, I don't want to hear it. Don't bring prophecy into my life. So God doesn't. And he's kind of like CNN and the News Bureau and the Weather Bureau who won't tell you that there's a tornado coming and you should save yourself. God's like, well, you'll figure it out. When it hits, you'll know a tornado came and you should have saved yourself. And then you'll say, I don't know why we didn't have advance warning. Prophecy is advance warning. So I would like to say, you pastors who shut the doors, no, do your homework. Find out who's credible. But not only find out who's credible, make sure your estimation is correct. This is not your sphere. This is not your domain. This is not your area of expertise. So don't assume that just because it didn't happen the way you envisioned it, that it was wrong. And that's the word that the Lord wants to say. I mean, if that's not your domain, you don't have a chief prophet, you don't have a prophet friend, a major prophetic person, a major prophet that you are able to bounce things off of and use to confirm things, then you really aren't in a position to say who's right or wrong, unless, of course, they were crazy. And I've had that happen too, you know. But as a rule, let's stop looking at the prophetic as if it's some sort of stepchild in the kingdom. God does everything by his word, everything. And that is why the oldest institution in the planet, second only to marriage and family, is the prophetic. The first professional institution where you can say, well, maybe farming, not so much, because Adam wasn't really farming anything when he was in the garden, okay? He was living off of the goodness of God, you know? And so but the prophet is the first named institution in creation. Now, how important is it? Abel, first prophet. Very important that you know that. First priest. So God wants you to know that what he's getting ready to say a lot of things. He wants to issue a lot of information, a lot of what we experienced in the 70s, 80s, and early 2000s doesn't exist. Many of these prophetic companies and institutions have corrected themselves. They've perfected themselves. They've refined their programs. They've expanded it. They've done readings. They've written some amazing books on this thing. So there are opportunities and avenues for you to get the accurate word of the Lord and the wisdom, the how-to wisdom that comes behind it. Because with the gift, you get the message. But with the office, you get the wisdom, the how-to. You need the how-to, because God can say a whole lot of things, but you need the how-to. And so I just thought, Ashley, that that was kind of an interesting, you see, you took me on that tangent. You see how you did that?
Well, I do what I can, Dr. Price, you know? I do what I can.
You know, but it is needful for you to know that. I don't know why, but it seems like God wants to speak into his churches again. He wants to give counsel to his congregations, to the sheep of his flock. And we have, you know, wounded and scarred and abused and belittled leaders while not letting him talk. So what's their alternative? You know, you can say, I'm tired of my people going to that hotel every time a prophet comes to town. If you don't want your people to go to the hotel, then you bring the prophet in your church. Because well-fed families don't eat out. They only eat out when home doesn't deliver what they want. So if you want your family to eat at home, then you need to deliver at home. You don't want them going out to stupid movies? Put a theater in the house. You don't want them going out to the arcades and put some games in the house. The whole idea is that your people leave you because they don't feel like what they need is doing it for them. And, I mean, beyond your sermons. You may give some great sermons, but people are living life every day. Their families are coming under attack. Their bodies are being under attack. They're losing their jobs. They're losing their homes. They're suffering all manner of illness and disease. They're suffering mistreatment. They're dealing with the biases against religion and everything else. Your people need home counsel from someone who's coming straight from the impromptu desk of God. And that's what you have to do. If you are a good shepherd, you want to shepherd them in their salvation. You want to shepherd them in their morality and their ethics. You want to shepherd their families, their homes, their economy. But you also want to shepherd their calamity and shepherd their advice that they get from God. Shepherding doesn't just start and stop at the things we like. And so I don't know why, but God has me giving that word today to pastors. If you're on the line, then you need to find out who in your region it can be that for you, because you cannot continue to shut people out of God's voice and leave them exposed to error and mistakes and calamity that they did, that they could have had an opportunity to avoid. You realize that if some of your people knew that their companies were going to close down or knew that their jobs were going to change, they would have had advanced knowledge, been able to pull their resumes together and go and find another job before they became the victim of that. But because we keep closing off that advanced knowledge, you know, or because we get it 2 years in advance and the company is booming when we get it, they don't get an opportunity. I remember speaking to a man once. And I was at a meeting. I was at a conference, and, you know, you go to these conference and they like you that you wrote the Prophet's Dictionary, but they don't really want you to tell them anything that they don't want to hear. And I looked at this man, and I saw that within 3 months, his life was getting ready to go into severe trial. I wanted to tell him God had given me a plan for him. I'm just looking at him. And so I went to him. The guy was kind of friendly. I wouldn't say we were friends. And I went to him, and I said, you know, the Lord said so-and-so and so-and-so because we were friends. And he said, I don't need you to tell me no bad news. And I said, fine. And I walked away. I knew what I saw. And he said, I don't want to hear it. And as I walked away, you know, and I was a little bit stinging, and the Holy Ghost said, he said, but that's like your city or your region saying, don't give us the money forecast. Don't give us the weather forecast. Don't tell us that there's a storm forming in the Atlantic. Don't tell us that there's going to be rain tomorrow. Don't tell us that the dollar is going to go through or Wall Street's going to crash. See, those people want to know because they want to prepare themselves. The church wants happy time gospel because we really think that God has to take all of the blows of the calamities that come to life normally. So he told me that. He did, and I walked away. And as I'm walking away, God's still not stopping the reel. The reel is still going on in front of me. I'm thinking, you know, God, this guy's talking, he doesn't want to hear, so I don't understand why I got to keep getting the message. Well, God said that you would know that I spoke it to you. True to the Lord, the man was in complete immobility within 3 months. No way to know where to go. Now, what if I had been able to say, try this, go to this physician, look up this therapy instead? No, just don't tell me bad news. Had another young man. This one is going back maybe about 18 years. He was young. His church was booming. He was doing well. He had gotten in with the city. He was getting ready to buy this block-long project. And I saw it, and he was running with the elders that he had were not the ones. And I started trying to tell him. He said, listen, don't bring me no bad news. I said, okay, I didn't. We fell out of fellowship about 5 or 7 years ago. He said to me, not really acknowledging that he blew me off like that, he said, if I had known then the hell we were going to have to live, he said, I would have done a lot of things differently. So I would say to you all who are on the line and those of you who will re-listen, How many times have you been able to go back and look at the little prophet that you blew off, rude, crude, all unceremonious, that you just dismissed because, hey, you were in the now of success and not being interested in hearing the potential of a turn? And so when you got in the thick of it, the Lord reminded you. Now, I tried to tell you to take your money out of this. I tried to tell you to go buy that. I tried to tell you. But because we want God to tell us everything directly, because he lives in us, we are not willing to work within his system, within his institution, and his orders. As we head into the future, may I caution you against that traditional kind of ilk that we've done. I want to caution you against thinking the prophetic is today what it was in its infancy and in its inception. I want to caution you against thinking the person who was just learning that thing 10 years ago has not mastered it 10 years later. I want to caution you against telling the prophets, I don't want bad news, because, see, they may see what's going to happen to your kids. They may see what's going to happen to your business. They may see that an edict has come out from hell against your marriage, against your home, against your membership, and to bring that information to you to give you advance warning. Don't let your people be more astute about sensing the signs of the times and investigating what it means than you are as a leader. I will close this on this statement. If you are a shepherd, a bishop, it is irresponsible for you to shut the word of the Lord off to God's people. These are not your people. You are a custodian. He's the one who's got to pick up the pieces of the life that he's trying to preserve. He's got to pick up the calamity. He's the one that's got to figure out how to get them from living out the cars and living off the street. He's the one that's got to figure out how to get them through diseases that they could have avoided. He's got to figure out how to get their kids back home or off drugs or out of jail, because we did not warn them or give them an opportunity to hear what God was going to do. Train your people to hear from God accurately. Train them to receive prophecy prudently. Train them to process it so that they don't say, well, it didn't happen this week, this month, this year, it's not going to be. And 3 years down the line, they're standing in your prayer line devastated. Train them to know the reason prophecy is prophecy is because pro means before it happens. God often speaks when we still have time to do something about it. Train your people to move on point or not move. But stop. I hear God saying this. This is the word of the Lord for the church in this hour. Stop assuming you're God because you don't like to have to prepare for hard times. God says time and chance happen to us all. That's what the Ecclesiastes preacher says. If it happens to us all, then when God cares enough to give you an opportunity to supersede or bypass a calamity that he cannot stop coming down the line, but he wants to hide you, then you need to hear it. When God wanted to, he said, I got to take out Sodom and Gomorrah. There's nothing I can do about it. That's a done deal. He was so hot with that, he didn't even just come to the planet. He didn't just send angels to the planet. He came to say, I want to see if it's that bad. And if it really wants the severity of judgment, I'm getting ready to send down on it. And when he saw that, what did he say? He said, but for Abraham's sake, I'm going to go get Lot. And Lot didn't say, I don't believe that. This is a pristine area. It's lush land. Those were considered the lushest, most beautiful regions they were of the day. He didn't say that. He said, oh, if God said it's going to go, it's going to go. Let me gather my family and leave. And who did not believe? His wife. His wife. His wife was like, I just cannot see this. This doesn't make sense, blah, blah, blah. Because in her mind, her personal comfort and her personal prestige was more important than what was happening in that world. But God sent to get Lot. And sometimes he's sending prophets to your house to get people whose lives are falling into calamity that have nothing to do with your church, have nothing to do with your preaching, have nothing to do with your ministries and your backups. And I just hear the Holy Ghost saying, I'm trying to preserve my flock. I'm trying to be a savior. I'm trying to discharge my office as savior. Could you get out of my way? Three times a year. You don't need it every week. You don't need it every month. But at least two or three times a year, you need to open up your church, open up your congregation to respectable and credible prophets who have your heart, who have your anointing, have your dispensation, because we don't share the same one. So you need to do that. And so this is not just whether or not I can do it. There are some churches I just should never go into, and I don't. I tell them, you know, I'm not the one for that, but I do have a group of prophets that we can send in. But you need to know that. You also need to know that there are times that God is getting ready to elevate your church, and before it elevates, you should know what he's going to do. Get some know-how on that thing, and then go to the other advisors and professionals. Your advisory staff should always include a divine communicant, a voice of God in the moment. Your elders are great, but if you don't have an elder with a prophetic edge, you're probably going to be stuck. So I wanted to lay that out. I just hear God saying to you, pastors, whoever you are, and I don't care, you're like, well, we don't allow prophets. Then you're saying you don't allow God. Then your people are doing nothing but eating rehashed food, and you can rest assured they're calling the psychics, they're calling the prognosticators, because their life is not as good as the life of those who are making these decisions. See, you are the leader, so you're making the decisions. You live in a house. Life is good for you. You're not in the trenches with these people. You're not in the workplace. You're not in the neighborhoods where their kids are getting abused and belittled and battered. You're not in the jobs where they're getting passed over with one unfairness and injustice after another. You know, you're not in the hospitals where they're going through chemo and disease and don't even know why God didn't stop it. You're not at the funerals where they're burying people or the jails where they're trying to get their kids out. You're not in those. You're at home in your office as a clergy where it's nice, safe, and sound. And if you're going to make decisions, you cannot make them on the safety of your insulation. You've got to make them on the trends and the shifts and the ebbs and flows of the life and the world your people enter when they leave you after Wednesday and Sunday service. That is my word on this subject, Prophet Ashley.
Wow. That's all I can say. I think you just said so much in this short amount of time. So many lessons to be learned, and to set us up and set us straight. I think one of the things you hit on several points ago was about bringing in the prophets that are specialized in the area that you need. And I think sometimes we spend so much time marginalizing that we don't really focus on specializing, because sometimes we're not even taught that's an option. Or this might be a great global prophet, like you even talked about, you know, mantle, but they don't fit here with what we're assigned to do. But so many things you just said right now, Dr. Price, I'm like, my head is spinning.
And what I want to do is encourage you to investigate your prophets, vet them, ask them questions, get their prophecies. Don't just bring somebody in. I mean, if any contractor, you bring any contractor in your house, you know that, Ashley, you should investigate them. Check out their credentials. Check out their credibility. Check out their habits, their pension. How do they treat? Did they tear up the last place that you were in? Are they brand new? Don't ever bring in a novice prophet to handle your whole congregation. You bring in novices for little groups, the teens, the youth group. You bring in novices for the little prayer group. You don't bring them in for something big. I don't care how much they tell you they got it going on, because just because a person can give one word right doesn't mean that they have the office at their disposal. It just means that God gave them the right envelope to carry to the right mailbox at that time. So, and I think that that's important that you recognize that. You need to figure out, how do I screen these prophets? How do I verify who's who and whatever? My prayer is that we will get together as prophets and be able to create some way for these pastors and churches to tap into and to resource the prophet that's best for their need at any given time. I know that's asking for a maturity in this office that we have yet to attain, but my hope and my prayer is still out there. So, hallelujah. Well, are you finished commenting on the subject, prophet?
Yeah, I'm done for now.
I even overwhelmed you this time, didn't I?
But that was, I mean, because it was a strong, forceful impartation, because you're pushing up against what is not only common, but endorsed. I mean, you sat on us for years as prophets in training, and even once we were ordained, because you were not looking just to kind of have wind-up doll prophetics. well, these are my young prophets. Let's just go send them out all over the place. You were pressing to make sure and still continue to make sure that we can withstand the pressures and the blowbacks of the office and not just, like you said, delivering an envelope, delivering a message. We're more than messengers in the just delivery sense of the word, of the difference between even the prophesier and the prophet in the office, holding down that weight and those other responsibilities. And sometimes it takes quite some time, as we've discovered over the years, to actually determine who's holding down the office and who is a strong gift, because a strong gift can sometimes look like they're working in that office and they're not able to do it continuously. So many things to think about, and bringing those prophets in and testing them and testing their words, and just, it's a lot to think about on both sides, if you're the leader bringing them in, and also if you're that prophet who wants to get out there in the kingdom and spread God's word and do what he's given you to do, to take responsibility yourself and saying maybe no to some of these opportunities because you may not be qualified or ready or compatible with the assignment that someone is asking you to do.
And that is true. And it's also difficult to decide when you need a seasoned or veteran prophet, because there are a lot of people who have been prophesying since they're 16, and so they really think they got it at 30, and they still haven't lived. Like, it always stuns me that we have these people who can who are treated as if they're major gifts who are not a major gift. They're just an experience gift. They're not in office, and so but there's a whole lot to go on with that. These are some of the things that we hash out at our events and at our forum. There are certainly some of the things that we address in our own training and when I'm talking to my group and my network. But I want to close this out by saying I care about the churches. That is why I don't unleash crazy prophets on the church. See, because I care. I want your church to live past my prophet's visit. I care about the churches. I care about the pastors. I care about the leaders. And I do it not because I'm this great, you know, altruistic person or this great humanitarian or minister. It's because I care about what the Lord Jesus is working to build. I am tired of his bleed out. I'm tired of him bleeding out churches and members and leaders and saints simply because of lack of knowledge. And he says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And so we have to make it our business to send credible people to the church. I'm not going to do it. There are people who ask me, do you know a prophet who can do so-and-so? And, you know, people kind of blow me off, too, like they do anybody. You know, folks just don't believe that you can see. And they'll say, I won't recommend them. I say, well, no, they probably can give you a great word, but they're going to stir up more with that word than they are to deliver. Well, what do I mean by that? There are times that you can go in a church and get a ton of words, but that church doesn't need it. That leader may need it in the back room, or they may need to wait on that, or they may need more training to know how to properly entreat that word. So you just don't go in and unleash everything you have just because you can, and you don't just go in and just, you know, throw your bag of tricks out there. Those things are important. So, yeah, we've got a lot to learn, and certainly as the kingdom of Christ and as these kingdom representatives and high officials of God's kingdom, we do have to get a lot more things straight. But by the same token, my big passion today is for the sheep sitting in the congregation who are not insulated by the office, who are not insulated by full-time ministry, who are not insulated by the mantle and garments that's on them, who must go out naked, unclothed, and unprepared, ill-equipped to face what's happening in life with no foreknowledge, with no instruction, no wisdom, guidance, or advice. And you can say, well, we have a counseling program, but you know what? The counselor is going to tell you what they learned. They're not going to tell you what God has done and God is doing unless that counselor is a bona fide prophet. So anyway, I think, Ashley, it's time for us to shift to Prophet Adia. What you think?
I think that's a great idea, and you know she is ready to go.
She should be right now. She ought to be climbing the ceilings out there because I hit her hot button and up that subject.
Oh, hallelujah. I am. I'm climbing off the walls here. Good morning, Paul Price Show family. I know that you all have been taking notes like I have been taking notes. We're going to stop treating the prophetic as a stepchild. Thank you, Dr. Price. Amen. and amen to that word this morning, and so many other things. We want to welcome you. You've been listening to The Paula Price Show on blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. If you're just tuning in, we are getting ready to start our second hour. Dr. Price has been teaching us and exhorting us and stripping us and empowering us today, and we're oh so happy about it. You know, Dr. Price, you're one of the few people who you can bear me down to the bones, and I'm going to hug you and thank you for it. So thank you for the wisdom this morning. I'm eating it up. All right, Paula Price Show family, just a few things that this prophet on the ground wants to let you know about how you can stay connected with the program. Once again, you're listening to blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. You can always connect with us on Blog Talk to get all the information about when we're broadcasting the program. We broadcast the show every Thursday morning at 11 o'clock a.m., and you can catch the rebroadcast of the program any day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can always catch up on anything you've missed from The Paula Price Show. So if you're a new listener, we want to welcome you. If you're listening for the very first time today, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure that you tell a friend or two how they can get connected with The Paula Price Show. On blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, you can actually catch any show that we have broadcast. We have a wide library online for you to listen to, as well as some special treats just for you. There are some free messages that we've put from Dr. Price. So if you're visiting blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, take a look at the archive library so that you can catch all that we have there for you. We've got some new projects coming up for you as well, so stay tuned and make sure that you click that follow link on Blog Talk so you can be brought up to speed whenever we post something new. Amen. A few other announcements that we just want to give you so we can make sure you know everything that's going on. Dr. Price's coming release of Before the Garden is coming soon. It'll be coming this fall, and we want to let you know that you can actually order Before the Garden online right now at drpaulaprice.com. Again, you can get your pre-order done for Before the Garden right now at drpaulaprice.com. This book is unlike anything else that Dr. Price has written. You do not want to miss out on this. Get your pre-order copy. All pre-orders will receive a very special preview CD from us, from the Paula Price Ministries team, that's going to have some special excerpts from Before the Garden, a special welcome from Dr. Price, and that's just for you for having pre-ordered your copy. That CD will be available in just a few short weeks, so we want you to go online right now, drpaulaprice.com, and click I Want to Pre-Order My Before the Garden book. You can order it in ebook for $16.99, or you can order it in paperback, which is $21.99. So you want to make sure that you go online, get your copy. You do not want to miss out on that. It's going to be powerful. Some upcoming events, if you're on our emailing list and you received our email this week, then you are already in the know. But just in case you hadn't gotten that, haven't received that just yet, want to let you know about where Dr. Price will be next and also about some upcoming events that we have in our Tulsa area. If you were with us for the forum, then you know that making the trip to Tulsa it's just going to change your life, form your life, to come see Dr. Price live, to come spend some time with us in Tulsa for a few days, and we're going to be doing it all over again in November. But before we get there, let's let you know where Dr. Price is going to be. Floridians, Dr. Price is coming to your area. She's going to be in Fort Pierce, Florida at the end of this month, July the 23rd through the 28th. She's going to be joining Apostle Trevor Banks in Fort Pierce at Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. So if I'm speaking to you and you're in Florida, you want to get there. I'm going to give you the number right now that you can call so you can get details about when she's going to be there and how you can get connected with what they're doing there. So grab a pen and write down this number, 772, area code 772-465-0036, area code 772-465-0036. You're going to be calling Resurrection Life Family Worship Center so you can get all the details on how you can be a part of it if you're in the Florida area. Come August, we're going to be in Chicago again at our sister church there, Antioch Christian Assembly, with Apostle Nona Parker for the Chicagoland Apostolic Summit. It's always a powerful time. Let me tell you, we love Chicago. We make trips up there at least 2 to 3 times a year. We're going to be back in August. It's going to be amazing, the Chicagoland Apostolic Summit. So if you are up in that area, you want to catch Dr. Price before the summer's out, plan to join us for that. You can call 815
815-727-0122. Again, 815-727-0122 for registration details about that. We will also have some registration details on drpaulaprice.com in just about a week or so. So make sure you visit us on drpaulaprice.com as well, and we'll get you in touch with what you need to get registered for the Chicagoland Summit. September, Dr. Price is going to be headed to Hartford, Connecticut. So if you're in the Connecticut area, Dr. Price is coming your way, and she's going to be there the 19th of September. More details to come on that, but she'll be speaking at the Apostles' House in Hartford, September 19th, 2014. So make sure if you're on the East Coast or closer to Connecticut that you get some details about how you can register and be a part of what's going on there to see Dr. Price live. Right back here in Tulsa, the 24th through the 27th, is the Executive Apostleship Retreat with Dr. Price. That is her exclusive training for apostles and senior leaders, senior ministers. It's a tight-knit family now for the Apostleship Retreat, and we want you to let us know if you're interested in attending that. We have a form online that you can fill out right now. If you go to drpaulaprice.com, click that tab that says events. There's an extra page that says Apostleship Retreat. Click on that page and fill out the inquiry so that you can let us know you want to join her here in Tulsa for that very special time. It's private. It's exclusive. It's hands-on, one-on-one, intimate training with apostles and senior leaders. Listen, if you're on the line and you're an apostle over work, or you're a senior pastor, a senior prophet over your ministry or organization, you want to be a part of this exclusive time with Dr. Price. You want to have her attention for 3 to 4 intense days. It's a powerful time. It's going to change your life. It's going to change the way that you're working with your mantle right now in your ministry. That's those dates again, the 24th through the 27th of September in this year. And you can go online right now to drpaulaprice.com and let us know that you want to be with us. We're going to send you some information on how you can register for that. Last but certainly never least, we are now, right now, taking registrations for the Apostolic Summit. Those dates are the 20th through the 22nd. We're going to be talking about where we are, what we face, and how we can take the lead. That's happening here, right here in Tulsa at the Southern Hills Crown Plaza. We're going to be here from the 20th through the 22nd of November. And if you register now through August 31st, you can take advantage of the buy one, get one. Now hear me, ladies and gentlemen. Buy one, get one is going bye-bye after August 31st. So do not delay. Make sure you go online, drpaulaprice.com, register right now. You receive one free registration when you actually register for the full rate, which is $125. So it's buy one, get one for $125. Bring a friend, apostles, grab your team, come on out. There's always a group rate for the Apostolic Summit. That rate is $5 per person when you bring a group of 10 or more. So that group special has no expiration. So if you're listening and you say, I have a team, I want to bring them out, get my apostolic team trained, come on out and join us for $75 a person as long as you have 10 or more in your group. And we're going to see you in Tulsa in November. It's going to be a powerful time. We're so looking forward to it. As I wrap up today, of course, we got to give some love to our listener shout-outs and those of you who have gone on to give us your feedback. I'm actually going to start with Twitter this week because Dr. Price put a call out to her Twitter fans last week on the show, and you all responded, so we want to show you some love today. Thank you for listening on Twitter. Again, if this is your first time listening into the program, you're listening to The Paula Price Show at blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, and you can follow Dr. Price on twitter.com/Dr. Paula Price and also on facebook.com/Dr. Paula Price. So shout out to some of our Twitter followers. We want to thank TN Tolliver. She says, blessed again, PPM. May your blessings be as abundant as those you dispense. Amen. Thank you, Ms. Tolliver. Prophet Wallace said, Dr. Price, continue to pursue righteousness, for he shall reward it. I love you in the Lord. We love you too, Prophet Wallace. Thank you for writing. Antoinette R. says, tweet, if you're desiring an authentic word and nothing manufactured in the studio, in quotes, check out at Dr. Paula Price, hashtag moving mountains. Thank you, Antoinette, for your love. All right, I'm going all over to Facebook. I want to give a shout out to Marcy E. from South Africa. Hi, Marcy. Thank you for writing us. She says, Apostle Paula, your two previous books are on my desk permanently. Thank you for your obedience to God and for the privilege that I can learn from you. Will your book be available in South Africa? Yes, actually, Marcy, it will be available. It will be available everywhere. We're going to make sure that you can access the book on all the major websites, Amazon.com, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble. We're pushing to get it everywhere. And you can also order it directly from us, and we'll make sure that we send your copy to South Africa. So visit drpaulaprice.com, Marcy. You can pre-order your book. And as soon as it's released, we'll make sure that you get it. Last few shout-outs to Bridget R. She says, this is from a couple weeks back. She said, much freedom on today's show. I believe I got delivered. Bridget, I believe you did too, because I'm always getting delivered on the Paul Price Show. Alicia M. says, up studying my commission notes. I love gaining knowledge from Apostle Paula Price. And last but certainly not least, Lakeisha W. says, it's Thursday again, and as usual, I'm excited. I am packing an extra spoon, fork, and plate in my lunch bag today because I'm ready to eat from the prophet's mouth. We love all of you. Thank you so much for your feedback on Facebook. Again, you've been listening to The Paula Price Show, the first hour at blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. We're getting ready to move into your prayers, so get excited because God is about to move. We'll see you online. God bless you.
Wow. That was amazing. Prophet Adia.
Boy, she packed a lot in there, didn't she?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
I'm so glad that they get an opportunity to re-listen and to, you know, this weekend and continually so that they can catch up on all of that because she packed it in there. You could tell she was geared up for today, ready to let us know what's going on. And I want to encourage you all who are listeners and my, you know, regular, and also people, as you heard Prophet Dia say, if people who want answers and people you know who would appreciate the wisdom, pass the Blog Talk link over to them. Pass on my show. Just say, put it in your Facebook, put it in your Twitter, put it in your LinkedIn, put it in your mail, whatever you have. You know, now we have so much, I just won't even try to get beyond the three I know. But pass it on to you. Put it in email and say, you know what? I've been listening to this for several weeks or a year because some of you have been with me a long time. I've been listening to this, and I'm telling you, it's been a blessing to me. I want to send this to you. Let's say your friend calls and says, I've got an issue. I've got a question. I've got a concern. I'm facing something. Where can I get some counsel? Hey, go back to Blog Talk, Paula Price Show, and look at it because we all put the headings, the subject matter there, so you could key in on that and say, okay, so I'll listen to this and hear what the Lord would say through the mouth of Paula Price on her Thursday show. That is what I would love you to do. Tell your friends, tell your family, hey, you're a pastor. You want to handle some issues. You're a Bible school or Bible teacher. There is a lot for you to get on these shows in our archives. So just go in, visit it, pass it on. I think it's wonderful. Hallelujah. Okay, Ashley, what's up?
Well, what do you want to do? Do you want to take a breath, have a few commercial spots, or do you want to go right to your callers?
I'm ready to go to callers.
All right. Well, we have callers for you. First, Dr. Price, you'll be going from coast to coast today on your show. We're going to start in North Carolina with Yolanda. Welcome to the Paula Price Show, Yolanda. She is calling today, Dr. Price, because she's feeling stalled in her breakthrough, and she needs direction. She wants to know, am I doing something wrong, or is there something else I should be doing? So, Yolanda from North Carolina, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hi.
Hello, Yolanda. How are things in North Carolina?
Good. It's hot, but good.
Well, then I'll leave the heat there. We're trying to struggle with our heat. So now, from what I understand, you're feeling stalled in your breakthrough, is it that you said?
Yeah, this call was actually meant just for me because it was almost like you knew my prayer request as soon as you started talking because I have gone through that process of having, like, general prophecy and then it becoming more redundant. And I'm at a point now where it'll look like it's turning for manifestation, and then it doesn't. So I'm like, is it me? Am I doing something? Or do I just need to continue being patient?
Well, a couple of things need to happen. First of all, can I thank you for that question? a couple of things need to happen for you right now. No, it's excellent. I really praise God for it. The first thing I would say to you is that where you are in the repeating and the redundancy is important. You know, if you're not every, you're not where you need to be in terms of what God having to set up, then, yeah, you might need to stand a little longer. So I want to say that because I think that's important to you. The other thing I'd like to say to you is that we have got to stop thinking prophecy is a letter delivered, you know? Just think of it like this. You go to your mailbox, you get a piece of mail, and it's good mail. You know what I mean? It's very important. You can see from the address, it's important. You get the mail, and you open it, and you read it, and so you get a couple of things. You get an announcement. You get some instructions. You get some guidance, you get some requirements, and, of course, then you get may even get some deadlines or timelines. That's how prophecy works. You know, we get the announcement, God is going to do this or that. We might, and then later on down the line, we'll start hearing it again, and as you said, you're getting the intensity or the repetitiveness, and so you're like, okay, so this is near. But understand that every time God speaks, he's constructing that word or he's cladding or outfitting that word so that it can show up in this time. So many times it has absolutely nothing to do with you. If you're at the point where God is repeating himself, it's redundant, he's pushing, and all of that, you can rest assured this is all about him finishing the work, you know, and finishing the outfit and making it happen. And sometimes, Yolanda, now you're going to appreciate this. Sometimes it is all a matter of God getting us ready emotionally, psychologically. He might need to get us ready professionally or domestically, you know, so that we can accommodate what he's doing, not only live with it and enjoy it, but thrive from it and to keep it. You know, the one thing I've learned that we've been bad at as a church, and I say we have been bad at talking about not every single person, but by the fruit that's out there, by the attitudes that people have toward Christ, toward church, and by the behavior and conduct that we've got in the body of Christ that's prevailing today, we've not been really good at telling people how to keep what has been entrusted to them. We have a very disposal mentality about God, his word, his miracles, his provisions, and all of that. We act as if for God it was a finger snap. Not always. You know, if God tells you that you're going to get a promotion, and I would give everybody who's listening to today, you need to sit down and sketch what that would mean in actuality, what it would take. What does it take for God to promote you? Can he just come in today and say, aha, Yolanda, tomorrow I promote you on your job? And you're like, really? Because I don't think I know what to do, or the people who are there not ready to receive you, or the work you're going to have to do is not there. There is always prep and setup and prophecy manifestation. Always. And I say prep and setup, but let me just add another word to that. Orientation. I always call it ops. Orientation, prep, and setup. God always has to put those operating pieces, policies and procedures in place for us to enter into his word. So by the time you get it, if the word is specific, then God is putting the finishing touches on what you're getting ready to enter into or what he's getting ready to manifest for you to fulfill his prophecy. Does that make sense to you, Yolanda?
Yes.
So think about your life. Think about your routines. Think about your habits. Think about your family. Think about your neighborhood, your roots, et cetera. For example, I've had people say, well, God told me that I'm going to get this kind of job, but it doesn't exist in my present world. And then you look around 3 years later, they're building a super something, a super center, or a corporation is building something, and there is where that word's going to happen. So remember, it's not about you. Now, you might be getting a little impatient because, you know, if you're suffering waiting on a word, you know, nothing is like waiting for God to deliver a word and you hanging on by a fingernail. You know, I mean, that's hard. That requires patience. But if it's a matter of you going from one place to the next place or moving up, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it takes the time it takes. I can tell a woman you're going to get pregnant in 3 months and have a wonderful baby boy, and that's going to be great. But you realize that the day I said it is when God did it, but the day the boy shows up is what, 9 and 3, what, 12 months later?
Right.
So Don't be impatient. And but tell me, what do you do? Where do you? What kind of work? I don't know where. But what kind of work do you do, Yolanda?
I do consulting for nonprofit organizations in real estate.
Okay, so you're looking for a breakthrough in which part of it?
Oh, I'm looking for a breakthrough in my finances and in relationships.
Okay, so and so you're saying that there's a prophetic word on that already, is that right?
Yes, on both.
On both. So then have you ever sat down and thought out what it would take for that word to manifest in the natural world?
Yes, ma'am, and I've, you know, tried to prepare get myself in a place that I should be for both.
Uh-huh.
And in one area, I don't see anything happening, but in the other one, which is my the finances, it'll come. And then, example, just the other day, I've been told that I'm going to have lucrative contracts and my business is going to grow and expand. And just last week, one of those, what I thought was one of those contracts came about, and right before signing, something fell through. So that's when I'm like, am I doing something wrong or was that just not it? And I need to still be patient.
Well, you do need patience, but let me tell you what I do know you need, too. Are you in church? Do you attend church, and are you a part of a prayer group?
Yes.
And you attend church regularly? Uh-huh. When you say regularly, like every Sunday, two Sundays a month, what are you talking about? Are you in like that?
No, every Sunday, and then we have a group on Thursdays.
You have a prayer group, is it?
It's what they call like a life group. So sometimes we do prayer. Sometimes it's Bible study. They do different things on this day.
Okay. I'm not trying to put you on the hook. I'm trying to tell you that there has to be a different posture that we take when we're waiting for God to deliver his word. So that's the reason I asked you about a prayer group is because it seems like you need intercession. You need a strong prayer partner. Because at the moment, I mean, even Paul told Timothy, the moment God gives you a word, and if it's a word that's going to break you into another strata, oh, my God. You know, if it's going to break you into other stratas of God, no. You're going to need intercessors. Monetary breakthroughs always have to come through major prayer push. And so that's why I was asking you that, if you were attending church regularly, because if you are well-known in your church, then you need to connect with the prayer group. You need to find out where the prayer people are, because sometimes when we think of ourselves as just marketplace, we don't realize that marketplace or not, you still need the clout of the church. People are really kind of misguided when they think they can make it without the church, because God put everything in Jesus Christ, so everything God's going to do is going to come through some aspect of his church. I don't care if it's a little Christian lady that's emptying out the garbage cans at your job that you strike up a conversation with, and she says, I'm going to pray. God uses just that little teeny thing step into a situation that otherwise he would not do. And so, because the covenant is on those on the household of faith, the restoration household of faith. The kingdom of God has been given to the children of God. Now, that doesn't mean that the other folks don't have it. I'm telling you right now that if you're in the household of the faith, then you need to tap into the strength and the power that it has. And that means you need to connect with a prayer group.
Okay.
So, and that's why you feel so alone and naked. You're like, okay, God, I'm doing everything. I know how, but there's strength in numbers, and the threefold cord is not easily broken. So my prayer to you today, my counsel to you today is, A, number one, make sure that you're in church. Make sure you're in church on a regular basis, not just on the days that you just feel like, okay, I ought to drop in and see God. Make sure that you're tithing, because you don't have a right to ask God for a withdrawal and you haven't made a deposit, because it would be nice if you cared about his business. So make sure you're tithing. Mm-hmm. Sure, your offerings are up because breakthroughs from God always come through sacrifices. I know we don't like it, but that's Bible. You know, you got to sow to grow anywhere you go. So it comes that way. So make sure your tithing and your offerings are up. And then lastly, make sure that you are connected and covered by prayer. And I'm telling, the reason I make a big deal about this is because when people are professional business people are just known, that's just because we are, you know, business people are single-minded. You know, I just want to go make my sales, get my money, get my position. But we cannot come to God and treat God like he's our servant. He is not. And God will give you a prophecy and will make you alter your entire existence to bring it to pass, or just simply let that prophecy lay out there until one of your seed or your kids or whatever enter it. Because he is not going to act to allow us to treat him as if he is our servant. He wants us to treat him like he's God. He wants us to treat him like he is the I am, that I am the Alpha and Omega, that I own heaven and earth, that all the silver and gold are mine, you know, all souls are mine. God wants the reverence, and it's very difficult for business people to reverence God to the point that he considers them a partner in his material and financial endeavors. So that's the hard part that you're going to have to do. So, I mean, and it's not a matter of saying, okay, I got to pray 23 hours a day. You don't have to do, although he might tell you to do that, I don't know. But it is a matter of understanding that you work for God. God doesn't work for you.
Oh.
I know. That sounds kind of funny, huh? Are you ready to pray? It sounds like I must have hit a couple of nerves with you. Did I hit some nerves with you, Yolanda?
No, I'm processing, yes, and writing, taking notes.
Well, I want us to pray, so I'm going to pray for you to get a prayer group. That's the one thing you need. You need intercessors. And if you're called to be big, you need intercessors. And however big God makes you, that's how big you need to have your intercessors group. So if you only have one person with your prayer partner, that may or may not be enough. You, from what you think God is going to do for you and what I'm seeing for your future, you need to have no less than 5 people in your prayer circle.
Okay.
I know. So that means you have to really make up with the folks at church. You know that? You have to kind of tap them and see how they do. And listen, they don't just have to be together to pray for you. You can just set up a what I would like to say, a success or victory prayer circle, where each one of you pray for one another's success and victory every week.
Okay.
Is that something that you think is feasible?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for Yolanda, for her vision, for your call on her life, for her purpose. God, I thank you that you watch over your word to perform it in her life. I thank you that you also, as she steps out on this council, connect her with the 4 other people she needs to sit down together and form this prayer circle. God, I also ask that you would speak to the people that you are calling to Marketplace Ministry and let them know that you don't enter this strata the way you are enrolled in the church. We can enroll in the church as a single individual, but when you start breaking through in God's possessions and in his different strata of life, you need to recognize that it has to be more than one. It has to be at least 2 and ideally 5 or more. So, God, I thank you that you connect her with the prayer group and the prayer circle that you have already picked out and ordained for her to intercede with, God. And I thank you for removing every obstacle out of the way, every barrier out of the way, even some preconceptions out of her way so that she can step into this thing and do what you want and do what she's believing you to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Bless you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless. Prophet?
All right. That was excellent. And now we're going to go all the way to the other coast, to California. And Tracy
yay.
Is on the line. Huh?
I said, yeah, you know how I feel about California.
Yes. Yes, we love California and its sunshine. Tracy from California is on the line, and she needs prayer and counsel, Dr. Price, concerning her job and ministerial direction. Tracy, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you. Good morning, Dr. Price. It is an honor to be speaking with you. I listen a lot to your program, so I am just excited about being able to talk to you.
Well, I'm excited, and I absolutely love your voice. You have such a great speaking voice.
Thank you so much.
So does that mean you're in ministry already or what?
Yes, I am. I am in ministry already. I've been in ministry now, I guess, for at least official as a licensed minister for at least 5 years, but been in ministry prior to that for at least about 10 years.
Okay, and what is your ministry emphasis?
So I am, by calling and trade, I am a teacher, and my main my place that they mainly use me is, of course, in Sunday school and, you know, that kind of thing, teaching adults. So I also minister across the pulpit when called upon, as well as I'm a part of the altar prayer team, and recently I have been tasked to be one of the main instructors for the Prophetic Institute that the church is getting ready to start. And so I've created the syllabus for that, as well as, of course, I want to the whole team to come to the conference that you have. We never seem to be able to catch it at the beginning so we can plan. But I'm hoping that next year we'll be able to bring the team. I'm not in charge of the team, but I'm the instructor, one of the main instructors for the team.
Amen. And you created the curricula for it. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, with the direction of the and the direct input of the instructor. And we are now in the process of waiting to get approval from our pastor for the curriculum. So the syllabus has been set. Of course, there's some liberty for change, as well as because God is just downloading a lot more things into me. So and giving me more resources. So so I already see a change happening, but that has to be approved, of course.
Of course. So then you appreciated my early discussion.
Absolutely. I listened to it while I was on hold, but I am definitely going to listen to it again. And I really would like to be able to utilize some of what you are in some kind of way, some of the things that you're teaching, into our coursework, because I think it would be essential for the up-and-coming prophets, for those that are seeking to know if they are prophets, to be able to benefit. But I know we all can't come to where you are. So I also wanted to get information about how to possibly connect you with the leader as well as my pastor so that maybe we could do something that way.
Well, I would love to do that. A couple of things that I could say to you before we find out what's bothering you today. Number one, I would suggest that you talk to your colleague and your leadership about all of them taking the assessment that I have online. I don't think that that's a better way to start. We have had organizations, Tracy, who before they even place people on their team, put them through the assessment to find out where everyone is, who they are, what they can do, et cetera. So that would be one of the things that I would encourage you to do. We have even an organization for a group to let you know the kind of school that you should build, because if you're just founding your school, here's an ideal time for you to take advantage of our organizational assessment, because it will tell you the type of prophetic ministers and the type of ministers, period, that you are attracting. For example, you might want to do a study based on this or that, but the assessment might say that you might be attracting predominantly entrepreneurial prophets, or you might be attracting, advisor prophets or educational prophets. So I want to encourage you to do that. The other thing I would like to tell you about is our online school, KEU, where we have, several courses where you can connect with in terms of you having your people enroll in the school online and then augment what you teach on site. Great plan for that. My staff can give you a lot more information on that. And, of course, you know it's all on the website. Now, as far as talking with your pastor or your leaders, you contact my office and see how Prophet Ashley is the one who would be involved with that to see how something like that could possibly be arranged. But my first suggestion to you is to persuade your leadership and your colleagues to have your very first class take the assessment, because you are going to appreciate the information that it gives you. You don't have to. The beautiful thing about it is you're not the starting the blind any longer.
Right.
So that's what I would like to say. Now, before I go on, is there anything else you'd like to mention before we talk about what's got you in a stuck place?
Well, what's got me in this stuck place, that's the next thing, so we can move on to that.
Okay. Then let's do it.
Okay, so I have, well, for me personally, I have been in a transition for, I would say, the last 4 or 5 years. And it started with a few months back, I guess about a couple of years back, where God was telling me that he was going to accelerate me. He literally said, I'm accelerating you. And so what that looked like at that time, I mean, things changed overnight. I went through, my sister passed away, then me and my husband broke up, my daughter went away to college, I had lost a job, then got a job, and now I'm losing a job again, and it's just been like a whirlwind. Everything, when I say everything is changing, I went from living in a house to living in an apartment, from being able to financially take care of myself to now being able to barely take care of myself. I've always had problems with people understanding me when it comes to communication. Now, I'm fine when it comes to teaching. I teach in secular, people understand, it flows. I teach in church, people understand, it flows. But just here recently in the marketplace, I can say black, they thought I said white. I could say anything, and it's just constant opposition and misunderstanding. And I've had that over the years in my life, and I think that's a part of my calling or a part of my whatever God is doing with me. But here now it's becoming so intense, and so the reactions I'm getting are so violent, especially with leadership. So now I'm like, oh, my God, well, what am I doing? What am I saying? What am I, you know, why am I causing people to have this kind of reaction towards me? Or, you know, why are they not understanding me? So then at church, even though it sounds like I'm being used, it seems like they only use me as an adjunct, as a afterthought. I'm never the first thought. Or we can use, and they, you know, Minister Nunley to do this, well, that's my last name, to do this and do that, but that's never a forethought. It's always, oh, who should we get? And then somebody say, well, this person can't do it. Well, maybe this person can do it. So I'm always like a substitute. And I'm like, okay, well, and I've even asked, I said, well, what have I done? Have I done something to the ministry? Are you all upset with me? Or, you know, and they've always said, no, there's nothing. You haven't done anything, no. But all the ministers around me, all the friends, they're all moving on and moving up. And I'm still kind of sitting on the sidelines just waiting to be put in the game. And I'm like, okay, Lord, well, I guess I'll just wait. But also, God has just really been, I've been having dreams after dreams. I've always dreamed, Dr. Price, I've always dreamed. But the dreams now are coming so intensely. I mean, every day I'm getting more and more and more. And I'm writing it down, but I'm not understanding just here with this job situation that I'm being let go from. God had already told me that there was going to be some kind of conflict. I saw it with my boss, when it came to pass, I was kind of, you know, just like in the dream, I was a little surprised. I was taken back. But God just brought back to my remembrance, and he told me, he said, see, I told you this. And then I was kind of praying, and I guess I must have been bombarding him with, you know, what's going on, this whole kind of, and when he had to just say, you know, he told me, last thing he said was, hold on, just hold on, you know, and I've been trying to hold on, and so, and yeah, that's it.
Well, you certainly have a full plate, so I'm going to ask you some things, and I need you to answer me kind of quickly so we can cover it. The first, the first thing I want to ask you is, how long have you been divorced?
I'm not physically divorced, but I have been without my husband. I've been out of the house for 2 years now, but
okay.
Separated from him for probably 7 years.
Okay, so, but the marriage is over, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so you might want to do something there. All right, and then I want to talk to you, because now that you said this job here, this is a recent job. How long were you on that job?
going into fourth year.
Okay, and so after 4 years, you had this upset, and now you're being let go.
Right, but we've always had a rocky relationship. It's always been rocky.
You and the job?
Yes.
Here's why I'm saying this. I'm going to tell you what I do hear the Lord saying to you, especially when you said, he said, hold on. You are coming, when God said he's going to accelerate you, he's saying, I'm shortening the readiness process so that I can use you sooner than you imagine. Now, when God says stuff like that, it sounds so great because we jump right to the end of the process. Oh, wow, we're going to get open doors, you know. We're going to be called on to do stuff. God's going to use us. It's marvelous. We jump right to the end of the process. But I keep using the word process. The way you were was unusable for where God is sending you. Your belief system, your value system, your routines, your aspiration, your pet peeves, your irritants, your loves, your passions, they were all fine for where you were. But, you know, Proverbs has a funny statement. And, you know, we don't like Proverbs a lot. And a lot of times we read three things, whatever. But when I was in your boat, I lived with you, a lot of what you lived, where God just went in and started gutting you. He's gutting your life. It is God, and he is gutting your life. And he's cloaking you so that you are not seen the way you are, so that when he gets people to take you seriously, they'll see you for the work he's done.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So your church is not going to think of you first because God has cloaked you. He's cloaked you for the surgery. He's cloaked you for the renovation. He has cloaked you, covered you, so that you're only going to be used in necessity. And he only allows them to use you as an afterthought so you don't misread what he's doing. He doesn't want you to misread the trials, the challenges, the gutting, the cleaning, the purging. He doesn't want you to misread it as if you've done some horrible thing. Peter says, you know, think it not strange, the fiery trial, which is to test you. And that after you've suffered, et cetera, a while, then you will be promoted. Before honor is humility. So you and God are dealing with some things that you believed that are contrary or that are threatening to where he's getting ready to use you as his minister. Endurance is one of the things that God is about to talk to you about over the next several weeks. Endurance. You're going to have to find out, learn how to endure. You're also going to have to accept the fact that you got to lean on God. You don't like leaning on people. That's not something that comes easy to you. You don't trust people. You don't trust them a lot for good reason in many cases. But nonetheless, your defense system is too obstructing to what God wants to accomplish. So he is putting you to a place, in a place where you are going to be like, you know, Elijah with the raven. God wants to take you by the hand and to walk you through the fire, the storm, to rebuild you. You are literally in a rebuilding posture with the Holy Ghost. And that is what the dreams are. Those dreams are not just revelatory. He's not just giving you revelatory dreams. He's giving you spiritual download. He's literally reprogramming you in your sleep. That's why some of the dreams you wake up, you almost get them and then you don't. You almost
right.
remember it and then you don't. Because God is reprogramming you. So your call is great, and you must have pushed him for your call and pushed him for your destiny. So he steps up and says, okay, let's go. I'll get you ready. But people misunderstand God's business, God's commodity, God's product, his objects, instruments are people. If you were getting ready to use a piece of equipment or you picked up a piece of furniture that was used, you would strip it. You would scrape it, you would gut it, you would do a lot of things to it to get it ready for your use, would you not?
Right.
That's who you are to God right now. He is stripping, he is scraping, he is hammering, he's nailing, he's wearing you out. You're tired. He's wearing you out. But that's the way you get a messenger ready, because God's business is people, his instruments are people and human lives. So the only way he can get you ready for where he's going and to get into your mind and in your soul what you need is by dealing with your life, because all of that is what holds you up. That's what props you up. Our successes, our failures, our wins, our losses, our angers, our loves, you know, the whole thing. So you are literally you have fallen into the hands of the Almighty.
Amen.
And it's not as lovely as you want it to be. But if you allow God to finish, you will be fit for the master's use. Now, in my handbook, I teach that. And if you, I don't know if you have the prophet's handbook, but if you do.
I do.
I want you to go to the back of the book where it says being meet for the master's use, training or readying the minister for God's service. I want you to read that because you may have forgotten it. When you go back and read it, it's going to lay out your life. And okay. Everything you're living is going to be explained. So you already know that you're a prophet. You already know you've been dreaming. You already know all of that. What you don't know and what we don't tell people is the real process, even though it's in Scripture. It's in Scripture that God is going to put you through before he puts you up. And he's going to do that because God plays to win. He is not a God that wants to lose, and he's not a God that wants to be known for mediocrity. So he makes us the best we can be so he can get his best out of it. And that's where you are right now. So, yeah, I'm going to pray for you to get a job and all of that, but your life was obviously hit. Now, I'm going to say something that's not popular, but, like, that's new for me, okay? So, Tracy, I'm sure you're like, yeah, that's news. Okay, but let me just give you a newsflash. I'm going to say something that's not popular. Not every marriage is meant for ministry.
Yes.
Not a lot of our youthful marriages were meant for public service. Whether it's ministry,
yes.
Career, business, it doesn't matter. And so a lot of times what would work for you to stay home in a 9-to-5 job is not going to work for you to go and travel the nations or anything like that because those spouses cannot tolerate it. And some spouses do well. They adapt. They accept because of what they feel or believe about God. But if a spouse has a problem with God, they're going to have a problem with God's call on you and God's hand on you. And that's number one. Number two, if you have stuff that you've done because you didn't know any better and God is getting ready to use it for ministry, he's going to deal with those issues because he does not need them to be there as future weapons for Satan to use against you on a public front.
Okay.
So there are a lot of things that you believed, a lot of unfinished business you had back then. God has to get rid of that because that weakness for you becomes a weapon for him later on. Why are we upset with most of the ministers today? Because nobody sat still to let their weapon, that let their weakness be removed so they didn't become weapons. So they jumped out there and they offered their weaknesses as weapons of failure and weapons of opposition against the Lord. You know, and you say, well, where's that in Scripture? Romans chapter 2. You give the Gentiles a reason to blaspheme my name. And so when he puts us through, it's about his reputation, it's about his credibility, it's about his plans and his harvest and his whatever. That's what he's doing. So, yeah, you're going to go through just a little bit longer. I know you would love for me to tell you that this is going to be over, like, right away. It won't. I'm going to pray the prayer that he told Paul. I'll pray that God's grace is sufficient for you. We will ask God to get you another job to make that work because you do need a livelihood. You need a roof over your head and all of that. But I'm going to tell you right now, you have fallen into the sovereign makeover of the Almighty. Because, see, God puts us through ministry makeovers. He has to make us over for his ministry. And you are in the grip of a ministry makeover.
This is good news. This is good news. I really thank you, and I receive all that you said. Because I'm okay with continuing to go through and to learn about endurance because I was just reading about it yesterday. So I am open.
Well, you're going to learn endurance. You're going to learn how to be quiet and shut up. You're going to learn how to shut your heart down so it doesn't train your head to open your mouth. You're going to learn a whole lot of things with God. And you're learning them not because of what you were being wrong, but where you're going being inadequate. See, God is looking to make sure that we are not going to enter into the weight of his calling inadequate. And that's hard because we've had so much I'm okay, you okay, Buddhistic teaching in the church that saints don't realize that no matter how great we are, we are nothing compared to God. The Bible says the weakness of God is stronger than man. Now, if we can find a weakness in God, still going to find out his weakness is stronger than us. So God is getting you meat for the master's use. I need you to do a couple of things. I need you to go to the handbook. I want you to read that. You're going to see that language like you've never seen it before. You're going to read it. Now, if God is getting you ready for this office, then you need to get that handbook and start studying it again. We have courses online. If you have not taken the assessment, you need to do that because that's going to help you. And I will give you one other piece of advice. Once you get on your feet, you want to get one of these advisors to coach you through this as you go on. Now, as far as your church goes, take them off the hook. They don't know why they can't see you either. Don't worry about it. It's God. They have no idea why they can't see you. They're not even trying. They don't know. That's why they keep saying, well, why don't we ever think of her? Because God is not giving you them as a first choice. He's only allowing them to remember you so that you know that you have a place in his kingdom and a place in his work and that you are going to be used by him. But what you want to be used, no matter how much you think you're ready, apparently God thinks that you need more of his handiwork. So surrender to your ministry makeover. Thank God for it. Thank him for every time he lets you use it. Listen, I live this. I'm speaking what I lived. I was the person that they would, honey, we'd have 10 prophets on the front row. I'd be in the first seat on the front row. They wouldn't see me. I'm like, wait a minute, I got a word. Uh-uh. They would go to the third row because that was God cloaking me for what he wanted. So they don't see God's appeal on you yet. They don't see the fragrance of Christ. They don't get it yet because God's not done. But when he's done, you will be first choice.
Amen.
So you're going to lean back and let God do what he wants to do. Father, I thank you for giving Tracy a job. I thank you for not letting her be out of work any longer than necessary. I'm calling for an expedient new position. I'm asking that you would continue to open her eyes to what you're doing. Show her what you see. Sometimes, God, we're so familiar with what we look like and what we feel and what we mean and intend that we don't realize that you have a view of us that we have not seen. Give her your view of herself in your eyes so that she can see what you're working on. She can recognize why you're doing what you're doing, and God, that she can cooperate with it at peace. We pronounce your grace upon her, God, that all sufficient grace so that she can go forward and make happen what you need to make happen. I thank you for covering her in the blood of the Lamb, putting her with proper training, proper prophetic development in Jesus' name. And we bless you for it, Father. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Keep me posted. I am interested.
I will definitely.
Okay. God bless you.
You too.
Prophet Ashley.
Wow. That was rich. There was a lot to that. I think that's good counsel that a lot of people can walk away with realizing what is going on with them and how it's not their church, it's not the people around them. It really is what God is doing in their life.
And it's so interesting because when you're a prophet, you know, we think that to be a prophet, all you got to do is just hear the word of the Lord. The Lord opens up your ear, you hear him. You get the Holy Ghost, you hear him. But to prophesy takes a second. Thrive as a prophet takes a lifetime.
Wow.
And we want it in a moment. You know, it takes a lifetime. Ashley, you know, how often have I said to you, the prophet's office is old. It is the oldest office of all ministries. If it's old, that means it has a whole lot of established rules, protocols, and guidelines that we enter into that predate us and will outlast us. And if we don't conform to that, or if we're not equipped to be rendered compatible with it, then that office will attack us until it drives us out. And so we don't realize that. That's why so many people are really more operating as gifts than officers, because if they were in the office and they were operating the way they knew their gift, that office would drive them out. Their lives would go into severe trial. And their family, everything would be touched. So a lot of times we have to tell people, no, stay in the gift lane for a while. It's safe. It's safe. It's like, you know, them letting you temp for a company. It's safe to temp, but you don't want to get hired because the rules change. You know, let me just temp. I go in 3 times a year. I'm happy. That'll be fine, but you don't want to get hired. So I would say to anybody who's listening today, get my handbook. If you're a prophet or you're being developed as a minister, get my handbook and go to the back where it says being shaped for the master's use. You want that because I'm telling you, a lot of what you think is the devil is God. So, Ashley, why don't I take a break and give some announcements, and we'll be back in 2 minutes.
All right.
Maybe three.
Three for five. All right.
How would you like to take the guesswork out of discovering your calling and purpose by using one simple tool? PPM Global Resources Ministry Assessment Questionnaire offers a variety of solutions for all aspects of the ministry spectrum for people just like you who are seeking sound wisdom, direction, and guidance to help you get into your place. The Ministry Assessment Questionnaire is specially designed to identify and assess what God has put in you, whether you are called to a fivefold office or ministry gifting. Going beyond a personality test or gift survey, you'll learn about your strengths and weaknesses, emotional intelligence, ministry readiness and reliability, leadership capability, the right education you need, and so much more. Your ministry assessment questionnaire comes with a 30-minute advisement session to review your assessment with one of our trained advisors who will walk you through your results and customize the best plan of action for you. To get started now, go to ppmglobalresources.com and fill out your personal profile. Assess, advise, apply, achieve. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it. Within the business world, assessments have been used for years to make decisions about personal development, hiring, managing, promoting, and leading others. But what about God's business? What can His leaders use to assess their ministries and churches? The answer is PPM Global Resources Standardized Ministry Assessment. Have your ministry organization assessed to find out what kind of church or ministry you have, if you and your organization are on the same page and compatible, how willing and able your members are to take on the vision the Lord gave you, if you have the right people in position to achieve that vision, and if you can help your congregation or organization get into their purpose. Visit www.ppmglobalresources.com today and click on Group Assessment for more information and to get your ministry organization started. Or call 877-419-1299 to speak with a representative. PPM Global Resources. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it.
Okay, and we are back for the home stretch of the Paula Price Show. Dr. Price, did you get that sip of water?
I did, and I got time for one more caller. You know how I love that.
That's right. Well, we're going to round out today's show and swing through Illinois and connect with Carol. Carol is on the line because she needs clarity for direction in her life. Carol from Illinois, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Good morning, Ms. Price. Daughter of my father, you are so encouraging in my life since I've begun to even listen to you. I just want to thank you, and thank you for welcoming me onto your show today.
Well, thank you for joining us. I'm glad you joined us. Now, I want to get right into it because I don't want you to run out of time.
Okay.
So I want to ask you, now how much of what I've discussed so far has been a blessing to you in terms of the reason you're calling?
Well, the complete show so far has been revelation into my life. It has spoken so much of what I've been going through and what I continue to go through, and it has been encouraging words to me to continue on because it is God.
Good. Then let's get started. What is it that you want me to pray about for you today or to answer?
Okay. I need words of encouragement concerning my life and the directions for the prophetic mantle on my life. I have been shut down in many places and I've gone to, and now I'm brought back to Chicago. I have trouble being understood concerning God's word as his word goes forward, And so I find myself writing down whatever he reveals in order for me to remember and in order for me to deliver what he speaks into my hearing. Or when he says, what have you seen? I have a lot of oppositions in my life, but as long as I am in prayer, my father always brings me through with much teaching and experience as he continues to strengthen me. And I continue to put on the whole armor of God and stand against, so that I can stand against the wiles of the enemy. So I say today, speak to me, Lord, through your prophet Price, as your daughter sits here and listens.
Well, let me tell you right now, if you will permit me to be just a little bit direct,
yes.
I would like to say to you, your issue, what you're fighting right now, is what I call prophet isolation. You live with God, and it works so well between you and God. I mean, you just love it. You get in your prayer closet. You get in your private time early in the morning, on your way to sleep at night. You and God are doing wonderfully. You have a great relationship with him. Problem is, you're kind of like having a great relationship with God, like you are on a date or on a private meeting, but when he wants you to go out to his people, you don't know him. And he's different, and you're confused. Most of us would be. So you're confused. So you're like, but when you told me this, it was clear, I understood it, and it was great. And then you go out and try to give it to his people, and nobody wants it. Well, because the way God is in private at home is not the way he is in his office in public. And so God says to you, my beloved, you must get training in public ministry.
All right.
You have to get trained on how to deal with God's public. See, the problem with prophets, the issue, I won't say it's a problem because it's normal, it's a prophet. So the issue with prophets is that because God calls us in secret, grooms us in secret, communicates with us in secret, because we have this one-on-one connection with God, we are all set to go, but we don't realize we're dealing with God and not God's public. So it's kind of like how your family treats you at home, and then how they misrepresent you out because they're taking home stuff and putting it in public.
Okay.
And so with you and God, that's the only issue you're facing right now. You need training, you need a mentor, and you definitely want to get somebody who's going to help you transition from your intimacy with God to your ministry to his people.
Amen.
So that's it. It's not like you know, people don't get you because you're still dealing with God in the closet. You're still dealing with God in the prayer closet. You're having a great time. And they don't get you because now when you get out, God's very direct. I mean, to me, he speaks so blunt. I'm just glad he strengthened me, okay, because God speaks blunt. So he speaks very blunt, and if we stay with God exclusively, we will become as blunt as he is because it's direct. But see, God has a whole other way of speaking to his public. And unless he's disturbed with them, he's going to deal with them from a way that's going to develop them from what he says and not devastate.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe this is the reason why I write a lot and then I draw when he shows me stuff. But it's the deliverance that I need that I'm not able to present. And like you said, in the clauses, you're very direct on that. And so I accept that.
So here's what I want you to do. I want you to get yourself in some good training. Have you taken our assessment yet, Carol?
Yes, I did. It's been a while.
I
did talk to one of your forms. Go ahead.
Okay, because I have a lot of time, and I don't want to run out before I answer you. I want you to call back, and you get an advisor to get yourself on a program because you have to learn how to entreat God's people. And here's the thing. You will know you're ready to be released as a full prophet when God's concern for his people takes precedence over your opportunity or right to say it.
Okay.
And so that is God's measuring stick. God is like, I can speak through you all day long, but if my people are going to shut their hearts to you, what's the point? So he wants you to get training, and he wants to groom you for this last stage of your development, which is understanding that God has a bigger duty than being with you in a prayer closet. And his bigger duty is making his voice known and guiding and leading and stirring his people.
All right.
All right? So that is my prayer. My counsel to you, I'm going to pray now, but my counsel to you then is that you connect. Are you in a church right now?
Yes, I am. I am in a church. But it's in Vegas, and I'm in Chicago. I am always on transit because of my profession, and
okay.
But God always delivers something to someone who's in my presence, and that's okay with me.
Mm-hmm. But here's what I want you to know, and I'm saying this to you because you know, I'm listening to your voice, I'm listening to issues that you're facing. If I had to say from my heart what I would want for you, you know, when I said, beloved, I wish above all things, what I wish more important than anything else for you is that you would allow God to make you his minister and not just his voice. That is my prayer. Because most prophets just want God to make us his voice. I taught my prophets, and I teach them, and they'll all, if you spoke to them, they'd all say the same thing. I look at my prophets when I'm training them, and I watch their eyes. When prophets first start out, they have eagle eyes. They're very hard, very keen, very sharp. But after God finishes with them, when their eagle eyes turn to dove eyes, then I know that they're no longer slaying prophets, but they are developing prophets. And so God has to give you your dove eyes for you to go where he wants you to go. Now, there's a place for a slaying prophet, but you are not to be one. God wants you to be a shepherding prophet.
Amen.
So that means that you're going to have to allow him to make you a minister more than a voice. He has a billion people who can speak for him. You know, come on, he got a donkey that can talk for him. But people... But a minister who will succor his people, understand his heart for them, understand that even if he has to be stern with them, the reason is for development, for redemption, for strengthening, and not for destruction. You know, Paul said, I discovered. Now, nobody was harder than Paul. Now, you can talk about direct, but he said, mm-hmm. I found out that the authority that the Lord gave me for you was for your edification and not for your destruction. So a prophet's strength is not in what they can destroy, but in what they can redeem and what they can restore.
Okay.
So when you get to that place, and you're not far from it, because if you were, we wouldn't be on the phone today. You're not far from it, but that is where God is with you. He wants you to be a shepherding prophet, a prophet that will hold his people in your arms when you need to and stand them up even if you must correct and censure them. God says to tell you, when you hang up off this call, go look in the mirror, take a picture of your eyes, because when your eyes turn, when your eagle eye turns to dove eyes, then you have the love of Christ driving everything you do.
And I just want to say that listening through your blog show and all the clips that you have, it has really been encouraging me to go into and move into that position of how to deliver that. I do deliver when I deliver with love, and I know, but the thing is that just being able to continue the ministry publicly.
Exactly, because you want to bear the fruit of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Okay? So now let me pray, because I don't want to run out of time
okay. Before
I pray. God, I thank you for Carol. I thank you, Lord, for her love for you, her commitment for you, and her eagerness to serve you, her eagerness to minister your word to your people. God, I ask you to take my hand now, take her in tow as a mentor, as a trainer, as a handler, and, Lord, put her through the final stages of the processes that will cause her to succor your people properly and to shepherd and meet their needs beyond just delivering a message and beyond just conveying your thoughts through her voice. I'm asking you to do it, to give her the right mentor, to give her the right counselors and trainers to lead her in this path in Jesus' omnipotent name. And we look for the fruit of his Father. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Ms. Prophet Price. I thank you so much, and I continue to have my prayers go towards you and the family. And just thank you so much for that word. And I thank
God. You're very welcome. God bless you.
God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Well, Prophet, we're at the end of another show. Can you believe it?
No.
Well, today must have been the day for the prophet show. I'm just going to say it was a prophetic day. Amen.
I agree. And sometimes we prophets just need attention, Dr. Price.
I know that's right. Well, Ashley, we're going to wrap it up. I want to thank everyone for joining us this week. Know that you're important. Know that I love you. Know that your success means a lot to me. That those are not just words. I want to hear your success. I want to pray with you and pray for you. Some of you do send me requests on Facebook. Don't think that I ignore them. I don't. I don't always get a chance to respond to them. But know that your concerns are heard and that they mean something to me. We want to invite you to listen to this show again this weekend and all of the other ones in the archives. Until next week, God bless you and be empowered.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time fee or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.